Matthew chapter 15, and I want to share with you a message that the Lord placed upon my heart, something very important. So Matthew chapter 15, beginning to read at verse 1, it says this: "The scribes and the Pharisees, who are from Jerusalem, came to Jesus, saying, 'Why do your disciples violate the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread.' But he answered them, 'Why do you also violate the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and mother. And he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. Have mercy. But you say, whoever shall say to his father or his mother, what you would have profited from me is a gift to God, will be free from honoring his father or his mother. So you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah well prophesied of you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.'" And I want to speak with you this morning on the subject of, Lord, give us pure hearts. Lord, give us pure hearts. Father, help me to relay this message to your people. For Lord, you are looking, Lord, not on the outward. Lord, you don't look on the height or the stature. You're not impressed by degrees. You're not impressed by our head knowledge, by our upbringing, by our ethnic class. Lord, you don't look on the outward appearance, Lord, for you look on the heart. And so help me to preach your word with the unction of the Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. During the time that Jesus was here on the earth, there were many, many things going on in the world. Brother Gary brought a good historical backdrop to the time, really, of Jesus Christ as well. The Greek culture had literally gone throughout the then known world, and with that Greek culture, there was an interest in learning. There were good things within the Greek culture, but there was also bad things. There was an excuse for immoral lifestyles, and it was also very prevalent in the Roman culture as well. The Jews themselves were very religious people. They had been raised under the law and the commandments of God. And through their covenant relationship with God, they were taught that they were in covenant to God because they were Jewish. But the fact that they were in covenant with God, they had to keep the law of God because of the fact that the old covenant was given by Moses at the giving of the law. The old covenant was a covenant of law. The new covenant would be a new covenant of grace. These religious men and women during this time had begun to take on the role of their religiosity, and because of it, the things that they did were not necessarily done from their hearts anymore. It became traditions. And sad to say, not only had their lifestyle with God just become traditional or something that they did because they were Jewish, they also began to manufacture their own precepts, their own concepts about the being a Jew and being in Judaism at that time, being a Pharisee or a Sadducee. And these precepts of men were sometimes lifted up to the level of Scripture. And as we saw in the opening text here, Jesus begins to deal with some of the issues that were then prevalent within the Jewish culture. For they looked at the disciples as they began to eat of bread, and they began to criticize them and condemn them and say, "Why do your disciples not wash their hands? Why aren't they washing their hands?" Now, to wash your hands before you eat is good in regards to eating whole and not having germs on your hands, right? Maybe squirt some hand sanitizer on before you eat. I mean, that's good, and to be safe in regards to germs, that's one thing. But these elders, these Pharisees, began to criticize the disciples because, As they would wash their hands, it had become a tradition, a precept that was regarded equal to the law of God, which really had no basis in the law whatsoever. And so Jesus turns around and says to them, "Why do you also violate the commandment of God by your tradition? For you see, the scripture had made very clear, it's one of the Ten Commandments to honor your father and your mother. It's the first commandment with a promise, which would result in a long life. That would obviously mean if we don't honor our father and our mother, and we show disrespect. And I'm not talking about the struggle of the teen years. I'm talking about those that will grow into adults and totally hate, totally misuse, and totally do wrong towards their parents. That is forbidden in Scripture. And the Bible gives the promise of a long life to those that will honor their father and mother. But obviously, the counter to that would be that those that don't honor their father and mother would end up with a short life, doesn't it? The tradition that began to appear during this time was that if a person or an individual had an offering or they had the ability to provide for their parents financially, that if they were to tell the elders in the church, "Well, whatever I have that can benefit my parents, whatever I have that can help my parents in regards to helping their lifestyle, helping them with food, helping them to pay bills," that if they were to say, "Well, whatever I have, I'm actually going to give to the church, or give to the synagogue or to the religious leaders of that time," well then, as it says there in verse 5, it says, "But you say, whoever shall say to his father or his mother, 'What you would have profited from me is a gift to God,' will be free from honoring his father and his mother." And Jesus confronts the hypocrisy here. You see, we're not called to go and try to seem super spiritual and to say, "Well, I'm going to give my gifts to God and ignore my parents." But rather, what Jesus is bringing out is the reality of Scripture. God honors those that will honor their parents. Amen. And sometimes it can seem like, "Well, I'm going to give sacrificially to the church, but I'm going to neglect those that need my help." It's not necessarily right. And so Jesus is confronting the hypocrisy. He's confronting an issue that was prevalent in the church. And we must ever guard our hearts from the temptation to think that I can impress God with my giving, or I can sacrificially give of my time, but neglect honoring God by honoring His Word. And so the Bible goes on to declare, as Jesus speaks, He says, these people, and He was talking to the religious elite, these were the ones that should have known better. Many of them had the Old Testament memorized. They attended their Sabbath church every Sabbath day. They tried to keep the commandments of God as best they could. But in all their religious garb, it was just an outward show. And God always sees through the outward right into the inward. God sees right through the mask, right through the facade. And the Bible says in verse 8, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain," he said, "they worship me, teaching as doctrines," or teachings, "the precepts of men." And I can only imagine how the heart of Jesus was breaking during this time. For those that should have known that Jesus, the Messiah of God, was there in their midst, the one that they were expectant to come, was right there, but they would act like they were holier than thou. They would have a pretense, a show of spirituality. But as is always true, God sees right through the show. And so, today we're talking about, Lord, give us a pure heart. Our worship of God, our service of God, our attending of church needs to be something not just because we are forced to do it. And I'm not talking about parents telling their children to come to church. I mean, that is one of the requirements of being in a home. Amen? I'm not talking about that kind of standard that's in a house when you raise your children in church. I mean, obviously, not all the time are they going to want to be there. But Lord willing, our church would be so full of Jesus that when they come, they'll be attracted to Jesus inside of the church. Amen? But listen to what I'm telling you. Our service of God, our serving of God is not to be something that is just a religious duty, that is just an empty show, is just something we're supposed to do because, well, I received Jesus so many years ago. But our service of God, our attendance of church needs to come from a heart that is in love with God Almighty, that is in relationship with Him, that we can't help but go where He is and where His people are. That we begin to desire the very things of God. You see, God looks on the heart. In John chapter 4, the scripture says that God is looking for those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's not looking for outward show. He's not looking for perfect attendance. He's looking for our hearts that would want Him. And when there's a heart that wants God, God will respond by revealing His heart to them. You see, that is real Christianity. Real Christianity is not outward show. It's a relationship with God. And the more we know Him and the more we love Him, the more we desire to be with Him. The more we love Him, the closer we are to Him. We will have that relationship with God, not just on Sundays, but it's something that will impact our lives 24/7. Lord, give us a heart that is pure. But I want you to turn in your Bibles forward to the chapter 23, and we're going to be moving around a little bit here, but just to look at the heart, how He views it. In Matthew chapter 5 verse 8, it said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." But in Matthew 23 verses 25 through 28, I want you to see how angry Jesus was at the hypocrisy during that day. Verse 25 says this, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees." Now let me just quickly explain who the scribes were. You see, back then they didn't have Hewlett Packard or Xerox. They didn't have these copy machines that we have today. You put your thing on there and it just copies it, make a bunch of copies. Man, you can have it do it front and back nowadays. Amen? I have an app on my phone that can scan pictures. Bam, bam. I mean, and I've got a copy. Amen? We can make copies so easy today. But back then, they didn't have the conveniences that we have today. The scribes were those that had the Old Testament memorized. And they, as from their memorization, after writing down the Word of God, the Old Testament, day in and day out, they would write down the Old Testament script through memorization. So these scribes knew their Bible. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was memorized. It was in here. He says, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees." The Pharisees, as I mentioned earlier, were the religious leaders of the day. "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside..." I want you to say inside. I want you to say heart. "But inside they are full of extortion and greed. You blind Pharisee," he says, "first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may also be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," he says. "You are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." And if you read that whole chapter, I mean, Jesus is... He's rebuking them left and right. My point is this, is that the outward show is unimpressive to God. It needs to come from within. And if that is the case, then how is it that it will begin to come from the inside to the outside? Now, obviously, the first necessary thing is that we must be born again. We need to be washed by the blood of Jesus and cleansed from within. And Jesus will take our lives the way that it is, and He will begin to cleanse us within. And from that walk with God, it will begin to happen within and then affect the outward. Amen. But it begins on the inside. And so the scripture will also declare, and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 12, And I want us to see something very important here, because it is our prayer, Lord, give us a pure heart. Look at chapter 12 and verse 33. And I want us to see something very important here. It says, either make the tree good and the fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Notice what Jesus is saying here. That generation who claimed to be super holy were just a bunch, it's masquerading to be spiritual, but they weren't. It was those that drew near to God with their lips, but their hearts were far from Him. And He says, if you, being evil, how? How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of what's within the heart, the mouth speaks. And notice He's likening it to trees and fruit. Whatever's that fruit tree is, that kind of fruit it will bear. There's no such thing as a fruit tree giving forth something that is not a fruit. Amen. And what Jesus is bringing out is something on the inside. Look what it says in verse 35. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil measure, brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word that men speak, they will give an account on that day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Such a big emphasis on words. Even Brother Gary brought that out a little bit earlier in our discipleship class. Words speak as far as what's in our hearts. If we're grumbling and complaining, criticizing, destroying people with our words, it tells us immediately that there's an issue in the heart. But God wants to fill our hearts with purity. He wants our hearts to be pure, because out of the abundance of a pure heart will come pure deeds, will come pure thoughts, pure actions. And so I'm here to tell you that when you were born again by the blood of Jesus, Jesus came to dwell in your hearts by faith. And He wants to give us a pure heart. You see, as far as God is concerned, when you've been washed in the blood, you have been made pure by the blood of Jesus. How many of you can say amen to that? But all of us need work. Amen? It's just like that little kid song says, He's still working on me, right? To make me what I got to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun, the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be, because He's still working on me. Amen? That work of the Holy Spirit in your life is going to be a work of purifying our hearts. You see, God wants our hearts to be pure. Or He wants our hearts to be real and in relationship with Him. And as we walk hand in hand with our Lord and Master, He will begin to take our hearts and begin to change us. And as we fill our hearts with good things, then good things will come out. That's why it's so important for you and me to be careful what we are allowing to come within. Be careful what you watch. Because what they say, what comes in, comes out. There was another little song I remember listening to the radio in Pennsylvania all the time. Input, output. But if we will fill our hearts with good things, then those good things will begin to come out. Good godly programming. Television, internet searching, radio programs. All of these things will affect the atmosphere of your home. Let good things be heard in the air. Fill your heart with the Word of God. The Bible says that the Word of God will renew our hearts and our minds. Amen. Filling our hearts with the fullness of God, making sure we are reading His Word and praying, and asking the Lord, purify my heart. Because out of a pure heart will come pure deeds and pure actions. And I'm here to tell you that God sees right through the facade. You know, we come to church and we have our church mask on, don't we? We go to work and we have our work mask on. We go home and we have our home mask on. I have my daddy mask, right? But God wants us to be very real with Him in our hearts. And as we walk with Him and we fill ourselves with things that are pure and lovely, of good report, as Paul would say in Philippians chapter 4, those things will begin to fill our hearts and it will begin to come through us with how we talk, with how we treat our brother and our sister, with how we talk about individuals when we're home, behind closed doors. A pure heart will go a long way. A closing scripture, I want you to turn to the book of Psalms real fast. Psalms is in the middle of your Bible. But Psalm 24, one of the Psalms of David, a man after God's own heart, he says something very interesting here. And I want to close with this scripture. Psalm 24 and verse 3. I've always loved this portion of scripture. I remember reading a book by evangelist Billy Graham talking about the heart, talking about purity and all that we're talking about today. But it says in verse 3, Psalm 24, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he will receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." If you don't mind, turn real fast to Psalm 15. Might as well. And notice the similarity here. Psalm 15 verse 1. It says, "Lord, who will abide in your tabernacle? And who will dwell in your holy hill?" This is talking about heaven, really. "He who walks uprightly and does righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, who does not slander with the tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor bears a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to avoid evil and does not change, he who does not put his money to usury, nor take a bribe against the innocent, he who does these things will never be moved." Pure heart. Speaks the truth in his heart. And I'm here to tell you that if you as a child of God will rehearse the word of God in your hearts daily. You see, this is a simple message. When we were first saved, we were told to read the Bible. Have you? Have you been? Have I been? This will begin to change our hearts. Amen. As we are filled with the mind and heart of God. And as we seek the face of God sincerely, God will begin to deal with our hearts. Sometimes He goes very deep. He'll go into the issues of the heart. But through it all, when we're in love with Jesus, He's not there to condemn us, but He's there to change us. Amen? Let's stand this morning. And I want all of us to say a prayer together. We're a little over time, so I want us to make where we are standing our altar before God. And all of us are at different places. We're at different areas with God. Some of us are walking intimately with Him, and we're saying amen, brother, to pastor. Amen. Some of us have maybe grown a little complacent, and we haven't been praying like we used to. And we're sensing our need to draw near to God once again. The Bible says if we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. But wherever we are, God will respond to our hearts. Amen. For He is searching for those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so let's pray together. And I want you to lift up your own voice to the Lord. You talk to Him. He knows where you are. He loves you. And He wants to meet you right where you are. Father, we come before You as a church this morning, acknowledging, Lord, our need for You. For Lord, in that day, You saw right through the facade, Lord, the masks that these Pharisees were wearing, Lord. They seemed to be spiritual. They love to hear the accolades. They love for people to view them as holy men and women. But Lord, You saw right through it, for Lord, it was all a show. And Lord, it was the average person, the one that was seemed to be a nobody in that day, that really reached the heart of Jesus, where they came to Him in sincerity and they followed Him by the droves. For Lord, You look at the humble in heart. And I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that every one of us here would humble ourselves in Your presence and acknowledge our need for You. Holy Spirit, you dwell within our hearts. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would draw us to that place of intimacy with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be the one that would go very deep within our hearts, Lord. And Lord, even if it hurts, we pray that, Lord, you would deal with those areas that need to be dealt with. Those areas of drawing near to you and having a pure heart fervently, even as Paul would say later on. Lord, help us to have a pure heart that would be a heart that would begin to manifest in what we do and what we say and how we act. That, Lord, out of a pure heart, we would be careful as to what we watch, what we talk about, where we go online or even in the world. That, Lord, you would draw our hearts to that intimate place of being filled with your goodness, of being filled with all that you are. And that, Lord, out of that intimate place of drawing near to you, that, Lord, you would begin to change us from within, and it would begin to affect us without. Help us, Lord, when our attitudes get the best of us. Help us, Lord, to repent of our wicked ways at times. And help us to walk before you, Lord, with that pure heart fervently in the name of Jesus. Deal with us, we pray. We welcome you to deal with our hearts. We open our hearts to you, asking, Lord, that you would go within. That, Lord, you'd begin to sweep out the dust. You'd begin to clean out every nook and cranny of our heart. That, Lord God, you would put within the chambers of our heart a beautiful image of yourself in Jesus' name. God, give us that simplicity of faith once again. Help us not to complicate it, Lord, like they were beginning to do in that day. Beginning to compromise the Word of God and make excuses for disobeying you. Oh God, help us to have that simple childlike faith again. Remove our childishness and give us childlikeness, oh God, in our faith. I pray that, Lord, you would meet all of us right where we are. If we have strayed, and Lord, we need to renew our relationship with you, then, Lord, we open our hearts to you again, and we just pray, God, draw us unto yourself. We humble ourselves before you, acknowledging our need. And so be with all of us here. For those that are close to you, meet them right where they are. And help us never to be puffed up or proud in our hearts and look at someone and feel like we're above them. Oh, God. Guard our hearts against pride. Lord, watch over us, I pray, and deal with us, every one of us, and give us a pure heart, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. If God's been good to you, say amen.